Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, December 12th, 2014, and on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the so-called torture report, which is the 6,000-page report of the Senate Intelligence Committee's five-year investigation into the CIA's treatment and interrogation of prisoners captured after the attacks of 9/11. The 6,000-page report is classified, but the committee released an unclassified 525-page summary of the report, which you can find on the internet if you so choose. The Senate's investigation was extremely partisan in that the report was written only by Democrats. The Republican minority has issued a lengthy statement vehemently objecting to the report, as has the CIA, with more CIA information to follow next week. I point out that while this investigation was being conducted, committee chairperson Dianne Feinstein learned that the CIA and NSA were reading her emails and taping her cell phone conversations. I wonder if that influenced her decisions on this report in any way. President Obama said, quote, "I'll make sure we never resort to those methods again." This is what he said in response to hearing the Senate committee's report. "I'll make sure we never resort to those methods again," he said. But his current director of the CIA, John Brennan, was once known as the Death Czar. Remember him, folks? The Death Czar. As he prepared lists of hundreds of names to go on President Obama's kill list, which they met and went over and executed every Tuesday morning. So what did this report actually say? I'm not going to detail for you all the examples of what the report defines as torture and what the CIA defines as EIT, or enhanced intelligence techniques. If you want to see or hear, rather, descriptions of what torture really is, go to my podcast archives, May 2012, and listen to the podcast entitled Torture. 119 prisoners are highlighted in this report, of which 26 were apparently cases of mistaken identity or other mistakes. It is a grim picture indeed, a picture of brutal violence, cruelty, dishonesty, and lying. The agency's director at the time, General Michael Hayden, told the committee back in 2007 that no agency personnel ever expressed any reservations to the interrogations. But that turned out to be very untrue. Emails and memos clearly show many personnel reported being sickened by it and emotionally unable to continue. They were broken by it. Some reported being at the point of tears and choking up over it. I point out that these are not school children, folks, but experienced, hardened CIA officers. So what's going on here? Well, as I said, it was a very partisan report written entirely by Democrats. Republicans have written a report objecting, as has then CIA Director General Michael Hayden. The CIA's official rebuttal is scheduled for next Tuesday, December 16th. As it turns out, even the effect of the interrogations was partisan. The report says the message used didn't help at all, and the CIA says it produced much valuable information. How do we know the real truth? How do we know what really happened? Well, we know some things. We know what Americans are. We know what we believe. We know that when we lecture other nations about human rights, we don't want to appear to be total, obvious hypocrites. We know how we want our soldiers to be treated when they are captured on the battlefield. We know that we do not want them to be tortured. How can we now object to their torture? That is my question. In my view, whether torture or EIT, as the CIA calls it, produces valuable information or not is irrelevant. It is counterproductive, and it is immoral. After 9/11, the U.S. government had little, if any, intelligence on al-Qaeda and on its plans. Fear was rampant and information had to come and come quickly. The public, as well as the CIA, the intelligence agencies of the United States, were near panic. Overreaction by government agencies is easy to understand. The Senate report clearly shows that results of the interrogations were negligible, not even close to justifying the moral objections. The techniques described in the reports are revolting and a violation of human rights and close to, if not crimes against humanity. I point out to you again that crimes against humanity carries a death penalty. Some have argued that the release of this information in time of war constitutes treason by the committee, the information that everyone in the terrorist network already knows because many of these people have been released. It will resonate, however, for a long time. The blowback directed at U.S. efforts abroad will be great. Soft targets, i.e. targets in the private sector, are now in danger. It's a bad time, folks, bad time to travel abroad. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.